Good morning. We praise God for good morning. Amen. Many are here. God bless you. God is good. Amen. I'm here to this morning, and I wanna. This is gonna be a little different service. You that are visiting, but we wanna take today, the Sunday, to share the last trip we took to Mexico a couple weeks ago. We were in Mexico. We made it back. Praise God, He was with us and He protected us down there. 6 months ago, April, May, we went to Mexico with four guys from the church and had the opportunity to get involved in a ministry down there in a community in Chihuahua, Mexico, 4 hours south from the border. And this is a rural area, community, 5,000 to 8,000 people, and there are 5-6 churches there and an assistant living home for the disabled and also elderly people over there. And so we were connected to them, and we took a trip, an initial trip, on the beginning of the summer, and God really put in our heart to go again and keep helping them and do more missions. Anyways, this fall, I plan a trip a little fast before we plan a bigger trip next year, but Greg Gosner and I, we had the opportunity to go for a week and just continue to encourage the pastors, to talk to them and to share with them. And so Sunday, November 10th, after our Hispanic service, we drove down to the border all night. And then Monday morning, we did the paperwork and the border crossed the car. And we were able to make it to the area on Monday night. And on Tuesday, we visited the Temple Emmanuel, where they had a big flood back in August and the beginning of September. It hasn't rained there for years, 13, 14 years. And this last summer, they had a big rain, floods, and the water was 2 feet high on that church. Some houses were thrown to the ground and stuff. But this is, the plastering of the church is coming off and the paint, and it's just really wet still, some of the foundation. So we went over there and started scraping the walls and also the ceilings where the leaks of the rain, it was just pouring, destroyed the ceilings, and we started scraping. Some of the drywall came off, and we had to put big chunks of drywall and replace it. And that Tuesday afternoon, we start painting and getting ready to do a couple of coats of paint on the ceiling and on the walls. This is the pastor and his wife and a couple guys from the church that we hire over there to help us. And we bought all the paint and all the materials we needed and start painting. He painted it yellow this time, so it was something different on Sunday when they showed up. But it was fun working with them and just being able to challenge them and help them and support them as much as we could. That Tuesday we worked all day. And also on Wednesday morning we had the ability to go to another municipality, another county, which is 25, 28 miles away from there. And this is the house for the disabled over there, the nursing home. And we walk in there really early in the morning, and we wanted it to go to the bedrooms. And they have 32 people living in that house, elderly. 32 elderly, two young girls who work full-time over there. They live in the site, actually, and the director, who is 62 years old. And we walk in there. We wanted it to see their beds and everything. And they have only 4 bedrooms in there where they sleep 32 people. In 2 bedrooms, all the girls sleep on 2 bedrooms, and on the other side, the men. And as you see, the walls have holes, beds are really bad. I mean, the mattresses is just really a little foam on plastic that helps, that doesn't get dirty. That's their bear. The ladies fight for that bear all day. That's the only bear they have over there. And that's a special bed. You can see it's a special blanket too. But the walls, you can see they're scratched. People just bang on the doors in the morning, so they put this sheet metal as much as they can, so because these men, they are ill, and sometimes they're just banging doors and stuff, and they need a lot of help. This is the men's room here, and it was hard to see this. It was hard to walk in there and see the needs they got and some of the problems they're having. And we put lights on all the facility. They had no lights, no light bulbs. They haven't been able to afford that. And then we fixed their toilets again. Their toilets were broken. We fixed them the previous time we went. And they just grabbed the lids and break them on the floor and start pulling on the stuff inside. So we want to do later, we want to build a system where they don't be able to get to the tank of the toilets. And then we spent part of the afternoon with them. At 1 p.m., they feed him. And six of them, five, six of them, they need help to eat. They will choke if they don't help him. And so somebody has to be there. The ladies hardly keep up with the needs. In fact, they were feeding the people over there. And one of the ladies just to stand up and start going away. And her pants came down. And it's kind of hard because you want to help. And she wears diapers. And she said, the lady said, "Don't worry, she'll be fine. We need to focus on the people who needs help eating. The other men will be okay because they don't have enough help, enough people. And they have old men too who are, they're good. They're 75 years old, some of them. They look like 90, 95, 100 year old. And to some of them, you're able to speak. Some of them are Christians and they listen to the gospel too. And we had a good time being with them and just worshiping the Lord with them. Some of them came around us and started lifting their hands up and just praising God, and also the director. She is a Christian. We pray for her and for the staff over there, and we were able to bless them. We put propane on the facility. They go through $50 of propane every week because they have to shower 32 people every day and in order for them to be clean and healthy. And it's hard. It's cold over there, and they have to cook all day, so we put propane and try to help as much as we could and bless them for the getting ready for the winter. And then on Thursday, we went back to the church, Temple Emmanuel, and the flood has damaged one of the sides of the building. This is an old building, and they keep adding on to it, the temple and the dining hall and the pastor's house over there. But they don't have a sidewalk on this side, and we said we want to put a sidewalk in order to protect the foundation. And you can see the moisture in the wall. It's still 2-3 feet high because this is concrete and it was flooded, and now the wall is kind of coming apart. So we took the old cinder blocks and rocks they have over there and break them and use them as fill and put a nice sidewalk over there for them to walk and go to the restrooms and also to protect the foundation. And we brought gravel from the river and bought the concrete, and sisters and brothers help, and they were mixing concrete. Greg Gosner, he's been an inspector here, but over there he was the truck driver. There was no cement truck, so he was driving the wheat barrel, and he felt like a big shot with that over there, so that was fun. Well, again, we hired more people from the church and blessed them on the end of the day, and it was a lot of fun to spend time with them, eat with them, and just bless them in many ways. That day also we went to another temple, Temple Sinai, and they have a little church, probably 30 feet by 15 feet. And they've been trying to add this Sunday classroom and put a little fellowship hall where they can have meals and be together. And they haven't been able to do much after the foundation. So I asked them about it last time we went. And this time we bought the cinder block and concrete. And we also hired a couple over there in the church. And they start setting the cinder blocks over there and getting ahead on the project. We told them, hopefully they get all the way to the rink, up to the rink, and then we'll be able to put the roof next time we go and bless them with that, probably roof and floor, and get it ready for use. They were very excited. That was Thursday. We started on Thursday too, and then Friday. And then Saturday we went and visited this church, which is Temple Bethel. And you saw those pictures before, the ones we went before, and we took pictures of that ceiling. And they haven't been able to get drywall for the ceiling. Somebody blessed them with that roof and with that dining hall again, but they haven't been able to finish it. And I said, we want to bless you with some of that. And we bought materials and pay for the labor, and they start working on Saturday, getting ready for that on Saturday. We were on the end of our journey. And we also took two sets of speakers to them. They unplug everything they had. The two speakers they had, they were already broken. So they put the new speakers we took, and on Sunday they had the service. That's all they need over there in the whole town for worship. It was fun. And we shared on that church on Sunday, on another church too. And on Sunday at 5 p.m., when we finished the services, we drove all the way to the border, crossed the border, and rented a hotel and rested that night and made it here on Monday. It was a very intense week for us, and we were able to feel God's protection and His presence while we were down there, and we were able to minister people that are going through a lot. And Greg Gosner went with me, and I like to have him come and share some of the things he was able to experience down there. It's a blessing when I take somebody. I wouldn't be able to go if nobody goes with me, and it's a blessing when people go with me and they're able to minister to.
Thank you. Praise God, how we live in such a blessed nation. God has just blessed this country. I shared a little bit first service because I was moved by it, but you know, this afternoon I'm going to go home and watch the Broncos, and I probably have more food and more running hot water and stuff than King Solomon in all of his glory even thought about having. That's how blessed we are in this country. And just praise God because we're that blessed, you know. When you go to Mexico, it's crossing in the border over there, and about 30 minutes on the other side of the border, believe it or not, you lose your cell phone. And, you know, we're so used to our cell phones nowadays. That's a big thing, you know, just no cell phone for a week. So that's the biggest change right there, though. And, you know, when you get to visit the houses and stuff over there, their houses, their living room is their kitchen. And their kitchen ties into their bedroom. And, I mean, that's their house. That's it. You know, I didn't see TVs. A couple of the richer homes, yes, but most of the houses, no TVs, stuff like that. And there are people that bless you more than you can bless them, believe me, by the time you get back from the trip. But Pastor Samuel and I, we drove about 2,200 miles in a week. And, you know, you become close in that time. And, you know, we prayed together. We praised God together. We laughed together. We cried together. We had a great time. And, you know, I share with them, I go, look, we've become so close, I felt like we're brothers. But Pastor Samuel tells me, he goes, no, because of the age thing, you're more like an uncle and I'm the nephew. So, and, you know, he always brings me back to earth. some of the people I talked about the last time that we got to go visit, you know, other than the pastors and stuff, we got to go pray and visit people. That's part of the mission down there, is to go visit these people that are hurting. And Christina and Hector were a family down there that we visited, and she was having depression problems last time and stuff, and just wasn't sleeping. And we went down to visit her, and wow, the Lord has just blessed her now. She's so happy, and she has a new baby, Samuel. And, you know, when they're happy like that, and you come and you go out of your way to pray with them and stuff, you know, last time I shared, we had Coca-Cola with everybody. Well, this time, now that we know people, now you have to eat with everybody down there, and just delicious food. But, you know, she made us come over for dinner, and we probably worship a couple hours after dinner and stuff, you know, singing songs and praising God and stuff. And that's the beauty of going on this mission. Wherever you go, you get to praise God and worship Him, no matter where you're at. And it's just, you know, that's a glorious thing. And last year I talked about a lady that had lost her daughter, Socorro. And, you know, after she lost her daughter, then she had a disease in her leg there. And she ended up losing her leg. It was a sores and stuff get on her leg, and it was just terrible, and she lost her leg. Was, you know, when we left her last time, I was praying with her. She just had a broken heart after losing her child, and of course, I was able to share my testimony and stuff. God is so good that this time I could tell God has sent the comforter to comfort her heart, because she was just a changed person. She was so happy, just praising God and stuff, and actually, we missed her at her home. We ended up stopping by. We saw her in town. It's a small town. And she was at the clinic getting some medication. Now it's her right leg, and her right leg is all diseased and infected and sores all over it. And she's probably going to lose her right leg. But, you know, there's joy in her heart and stuff now, and it's just incredible that you know, the joy that God is putting in her heart. But she invited us over to the house over there. And this lady, she's only sleeping 1 hour a night because of the pain in her leg. Every time she touches it, it wakes her back up. But this lady, you could see she loves the Lord. And we're able to share the gospel and stuff with her. And then while you're over at the house, she's in a wheelchair. Well, she can barely get around. She won't touch that leg. It's so sore. But she gets up enough strength that she gets us cookies. She makes us coffee. And we're able to worship and sing again and praise God over at her house with her. What a glorious time it was, you know. And just to be able to share the Word of God and see the joy in her heart where God has touched her, just incredible. I mean, when you go on a mission like this, you just can't outgive God. He just continues to bless you more than what you ever took down there. And then we went to the special needs place, the orphanage, we called it last time, Casa de Hogar. And Pastor Samuel was talking about a little bit about, you know, the sleeping conditions and everything. Well, we went in there, and the bedrooms are totally dark when you go in there and stuff, even in the middle of the day. And I looked, they don't have any light bulbs. And then the beds they are sleeping on are worse than when you go camping and you have a little piece of foam that you sleep on. You know how miserable you are all night trying to sleep on that. And theirs is on a hard wood like this. And believe me, it's not a great place to try to sleep. And you're side by side like sardines and stuff like that. So we were able to go to the store and we got some light bulbs and we fixed a few toilets and stuff. But, you know, it brought me to the realization of this. When you go home tonight, and your light works in your bedroom, and you have a mattress to lay on, you better praise God. You are so blessed, you can't even imagine. But we were able to go to town on, you know, other than light bulbs and stuff, we bought them some fruit, oranges actually, and some potatoes and stuff. Every day over there, they're eating beans and tortillas, and they just don't get anything else. But this time around, I got to watch them eat the oranges because Mama wanted Pastor Samuel to sing some songs and stuff while they ate. And so we watched them eat these oranges. And it was just such a delicacy for them to eat this orange. You can't imagine how they were enjoying these crazy oranges. One orange. Unbelievable. It just blew my mind. And, you know, what a blessing from God to get to see that. And I told Pastor Samuel, I go, can you imagine what a life you have if an orange blesses you? I mean, unbelievable. You're happy with an orange? And then, of course, we worked on the different temples and stuff down there with the pastors. But come around Saturday, the week goes so fast down there. It goes by so fast. But Pastor Samuel's mom and dad, Manuel and Lupe, wanted to bless us with a dinner. And so they were going to kill a lamb in our honor down there, and went down there, and Pastor Samuel and his father and I went out back, and there were three lambs out there, and I went and looked, and I go, oh man, God, I didn't know lambs were so cute. And so I started struggling with it right away, and it reminded me of a letter I had read in a hunting magazine. I used to be a hunter and stuff, and it said, why do you people go and hunt and kill these animals for meat? Why don't you go to the supermarket like I do and buy your meat there where nothing dies? Yeah, right. And so I shared that with them, but they showed some mercy on me, and we got to go to the store and buy some meat down there, and that's what we had to barbecue. And you know, I was whining to myself during the week and stuff and going, God, my language skills are so bad. You know, I can't share my testimony of you and stuff with these people down here. You know, personally, one-on-one and stuff. And I was kind of whining. And that night at the barbecue, Samuel's neighbors came over. Well, this is how our God works. She's a school teacher, and she's been studying English every night for 2 hours a night she studies. And so for the last 2 years, she's been studying English. And so God sends her over, and she wants to practice her English on me. And, of course, from there, I'm able to share my testimony and stuff. And, you know, that's the way God is. I just thank God. You know, we whine a little bit, and He answers our prayers. So that was just a total blessing. Then I also got to meet Samuel's uncle. We saw him again, Romero, and his wife, Teresa. And she made us some sopapillas there while we were drinking coffee. But while this man's drinking coffee, and I was watching, and he's stirring his coffee, and he's going, praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for this coffee. And it just touched my heart. And I go, you know, that's what we need to do. Even for a cup of coffee, we're called to thank God for every single thing you have, not just once in a while. And so it's just a whole blessed trip down there. And our last day, we went to a service down there in Pastor Francisco's church. And afterwards, he was saying something in Spanish. Of course, I wasn't following it and stuff again. And actually, he shared it with the little gal that was sitting there. And she was from Westminster, Colorado. And so she translated it for us. And what he wanted to tell us was he wanted me to thank you, our congregation, for all that you've done, that the blessings that you've sent down there, and for your prayers and stuff. And so that's what I needed to convey to you. And also, I want to thank you all for prayers for my wife. She's getting better too. And I'll let Pastor Samuel continue. But thank you all for your blessings of prayers and stuff. We appreciate it. Thank you, Pastor.
As we go down there, it is my prayer that God leads us to where He wants us to minister. And more seems like God is just leading us to the place where the need is bigger and where people are just struggling. And one of the places that really touches my heart is this disabled home, this place. And we were able to talk to her, to the director. She's 62 years old. She has her own problems, struggling with some health issues, and she's just wondering what's going to happen if she passes away, and who's going to take care of all these elderly. She raised 20 kids by herself through the years, and now they live all over, and they go back and help. And her husband is also in a wheelchair, and two of the girls that she raised up, one of them married to another orphan that she raised up, and they live inside. The man works on a plant now. He used to work over there. But the two girls, they cook every day and clean the dining place. And then they have a man who works full-time cleaning the men's bedrooms and showering these elder men and shaving them every morning. And he does the big laundry, all the blankets and everything. And then she's got another girl who works over there for $50 a week. And this young girl, she's taking care of the ladies. She showers the ladies and washes all the clothes for the ladies and for the men, the smaller laundry. They work hard. And I was just trying to minister to these people and talk to them. I went through the books. I wanted to know how the organization runs. And she just picked it up on her own. This is not a Christian organization. It's not a civil association, as we call it in Mexico. So they don't have like a 501c3 thing. It's just on her own. And a Mennonite church is being able to support him once a month with basic food and some paying some of the bills. But they need help. Going through that, in my heart, I saw the pain and some of the needs that are going over there. But also when we went to Socorro's house and we look at her leg and it's full of sores and she's just in pain, excruciating pain every night. And her husband is desperate. He's like, I don't know what to do. She yells at me on the middle of the night when the pain is so strong and says, please take me to the clinic and have him amputate my leg. And the doctor told her, you're going to lose your leg in 4 weeks, the most, unless we take you to a clinic and put you in a different medicine. But that's really dangerous because the defense on your health are going to be so low that even a fever could kill you when you're on that medicine. So they're asking for some guidance and wondering what to do. And as we went over there, she said, why don't you share something to us? And the whole family was there. Another couple showed up when we got over there. They were visiting and trying to say something to them. And so we had a good group over there. And I went through the book of Job, just trying to give some comfort. And now, believe me, I grew up over there. I came here when I was 22, and I've been living here for the last 12 years. And you forget about pain. You forget about affliction. And when you meet with these people and they ask you for something that gives them comfort, you go to God and you say, Lord, what can I say to these people? They're going through so much. I'm so blessed that I feel so awkward just to grab the Bible and say something to them. But I felt led to go to the book of Job. And as I was reading, I said, there was this man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And he was blameless and upright. And he was apart from evil. He was a righteous man, according to the Bible. And he didn't sin or anything. God was bragging about Job. God was talking about Job and saying how Job was a good man to Satan. This is a strong theology here for us. So Satan says, yeah, he serves you, but he serves you because you have placed an edge around him and his house and all that he has on every side. And I'm quoting some of the verses from Job 1. And Satan says, you have blessed the work of his hands. His possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your hand. Only against them do not stretch out your hand. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and hit Job. Took everything away from him. And you start reading on the Bible and how he lost all his sheep, all his camels and cattle and everything he had. And The problem is when he gets to the family, all of his kids die on one day. And you know, when he gets the news of it, Job worships God. He comes and says, naked I came to this earth, and naked I will go back. And he worshiped God. And I went through those scriptures, and then again I share about the time when Satan goes back to God, and God says, have you seen my servant Job? How he worships me, praise me? Even when you push me to afflict him without any cause. And Satan says, yeah, but go ahead and hit his flesh, and he will blaspheme your name in your face. So God gives permission to Satan, if we will say it, and he goes and hit the health of this man to the point where he is in pain, he's living in ashes, his friends come to him, spend 7 days just looking at him, crying with him, just going through the pain with him, and his wife kind of goes against him and says, come on, curse God and die. And Job is still worshiping God. And, you know, I feel like, God, why did you put Job through that? He passed the first test. But you know what? God was very interested in the character of Job. He didn't care about Satan thinking, oh, Job wasn't good enough. He didn't praise God enough. He complained on the middle. God is more concerned about our character and the condition of our heart in the midst of trials. So I share with them on how Job complains on the middle of the book, and then he goes through a lot, but he never loses his faith. He never goes that deep. Then you go to the end of the book, on chapter 42 of Job, verse 1. And you read something amazing on the end of this journey where Job suffered. And we don't know how long he did suffer, but we know that it was big. It was hard. And you go to the end of the book, and God speaks to Job. And he kind of comes and confronts him for complaining. But then Job answers the Lord and said in verse 1 and then 2, I know that you can do all things. And that was kind of, I dwell in there for a while, and I say, you know what, Socorro? I know that God is able to do everything. He could heal you right now. We're going to pray for God to heal you right now. And he is even able to grow that leg that you already lost so you can be walking. And they're hoping that she keep her leg, because in December she's getting a prosthesis from the government and she'd be able to walk. Now, they live in rural areas. There's no sidewalks, no highways, no help for the disabled. They don't have special cars or any of that. So if she loses the other leg, this is going to be hard. She's not going to be able to have the prosthesis. So I said, I know God is able to do all things, but, and I want to pray for God to do it. And I really pray to God and say, Lord, heal her completely. Let it see that in this community that you reign and you are able to do miracles and big wonders. But I was just thinking, if this doesn't happen and if this is not God's will, I want her to have some comfort and to understand God's purpose, because she's been through a lot, losing her daughter and losing her leg, and her husband is not a Christian, and she's just wondering how things are going to work out. And I said, Job, on the end of everything, he said, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. And one of the amazing things is that Job understood the purpose of God through affliction. He went through a lot, but in the end, he recognized that there was a purpose in God's affliction to his life, in everything he went through. And then he says, who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Because God asked him, why are you hiding the counsel without knowledge, without understanding what's going on? Therefore, Job says, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not knew. Think about it. He went through a lot of pain, and now on the end of the journey, he says, things too wonderful for me to understand. I didn't know it. He's able to express this to God and thank God and worship God. And then he says, hear and I will speak. I will question you and you make it known to me. This is what God asked Job. And he answers, I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. And he's able to have a better communion with God and a stronger relationship than what he had in verse 1, chapter 1 of Job. Now in chapter 1, verse 1, Job was upright. He was without blemish. He was apart from evil. He was a righteous man. But now he's even closer to God. And I said, I don't understand what's going on in here in your life. I don't understand all this pain in your family, all this affliction. But I know that God has a bigger purpose than what we see. I wish I know. I wish I could express it to you and explain you every detail of it, but I have no idea. I just know that that God is working for the better in your life. And I was able to share practically what Romans 8:28 says, that we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. What an amazing promise. All things work together for good for those who love God, for those who are called according to His purpose. Now, we have to understand, this is not for everyone. It's only for the believer. The believer, through pain and affliction and suffering, and good things too, through everything works for the better, for the best. And we have to rest in that. Now, what is the purpose of affliction when we think of this? And I know one thing, God, He's blessed us so much. We go down there and we feel like we have it all, and we are able to express thankfulness to our God and say, thank you, Lord, for our nation and our abundance. But I feel that God also has made sure that we have enough pain, right? We have sufferings here. We go through afflictions. They may not be in the same area, financial or health issues, but we have our problems in our marriages with our kids. Sometimes we are going through things and battles and we're wondering what's going on. As I was thinking about it, I'd like to take you to James chapter 1, verse 2. James 1, 2 through 4, there's this little passage here, this window. I mean, the Bible speaks about suffering. And when we go talking about suffering, think about it. For 2,000 years, the church has survived. And many centuries, many years through suffering. Don't forget it. We're here because many people suffer before us in the nations. And we live in great times. But right now, there are many Christians suffering all over the earth. And this is what the Bible says about trials. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces a steadfastness. The purpose of trials in our lives is so God can produce in our life a steadfastness. He is building our steadfastness, giving us patience and courage. And then also we read, for you know that the testing of your faith produces a steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So actually the pain and the trials in our lives make us complete. Right? We say, Lord, I want to be everything that you want me to be. Take me as I am. I want to be a whole Christian, right? Well, God says, you need some pain. We're going to start and you're going to need some affliction in the road. We don't understand it. We feel, Lord, but can we skip that part? Get to the blessing part, right? But there's no blessing without the affliction. We have to go through trials. We experience trials because we grow. We worship God and we prove that we believe in Him no matter what. We're resting on Him. So this is an amazing part of the Bible that we want to focus, and we want to remember that God is producing a steadfastness. He's making us complete. He's producing faith in our life. Look at James 2:5 right here in the same book. Listen, my beloved brothers. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith? And heirs of the kingdom. And you know what? One of the things you experience when you go to these places is the poor people, they have big faith because they depend on God for everything. Now, do we forget? Yes, we forget. We want to trust in God for everything and we want to acknowledge God even on a cup of water. But we take things for granted so often. We wake up and we know this is what we have and we start trusting in our own. And this is 21st century, and when we go back there, you learn that some people in this age, they are still trusting in God for everything. So this is amazing. God is producing steadfastness, faith. He's accomplishing completeness in our life. Also, we go back to Romans chapter 5, verse 2 through 5, and we read right there, through Him, through Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into His grace, in which we stand. Speaking of faith, faith gives us the ability to access the grace of God. And think about it, we need grace of God in our life so much. But it's only through faith that we are able to get into that grace. So God is producing faith in our life through trials. But then also we read in verse 3, actually it says, grace in which we stand and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now that grace makes us hope for the glory of God, the things that are to come. And this is something that strikes my heart, because these people have eternal perspective. And sometimes we miss on eternal perspective. We are living the life here that we forget that Jesus has a bigger purpose. And sometimes we wonder, why do we have to talk about the end times? Why do we have to speak about Jesus coming back? Because that's our hope. We cannot get used and accustomed to this world. In fact, in this world, Jesus says, you will have affliction, right? But trust in me. I had overcome, so you will overcome too. Be at peace. Be cheerful about it. Now, we read right here in verse 2, more than that, verse 3, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. This is what Paul is saying. And now, if you read the life of Paul, Paul was a man that experienced hardship. Big, big hero in the Bible. I mean, he did a lot. But man, you go through his credentials. He was beaten. He was stoned. He was lost. He was everything for the sake of Christ. And he says, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Again, we see it. And endurance produces character. And you know what? This is what God was concerned with Job. God wanted it to grow the character of Job through the pain that he went through. And on the end, Job was a better believer and a stronger Christian, and he had a better relationship with God. So this is an amazing scripture that tells us where God is taking us in the midst of pain. He is producing character and hope through trials in the life of the Christian. He is fulfilling his plan in our lives. So we did that. Now you may think, well, so if these Christians are going so well down there with all this pain and they're growing more than us, why do we want to be involved in their lives? I mean, let them grow up, right? We're fine here in America and we have our own problems, so we're fine. Why do we get involved? I've been thinking about this scripture even before the trip in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. Of why do we get involved? Why do we go and visit people who are having problems and going through trials and afflictions? And this is not only called to for us to do, not only in the rest of the world, but also in our neighborhood and community, with people who are going through trials. And in chapter 25, verse 31, you read, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne before Him. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visited you? And the King will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. So God is calling us to be involved in the least of these brothers. And you know, God has blessed us so much. And when I was thinking of this, I say, Lord, help us to be led to people who already has you in their hearts and they're going through trials, and give us a word of encouragement, of support, and give us the ability to see what you're doing in their lives as we are blessed also, but that they be blessed in our trip down there. And some of these people, you know, remember, this doesn't happen to everyone, only to believers, only to the ones that God is drawing. And the cartel oppression is big, the economy is bad, drought, it's been hard. Now they have flood, and then they don't have rain anymore, so we don't know what's going to happen. The pastors are losing some of the families. Families are moving away. They don't know what to do. But God is working in the midst of pain. One of the couples, and you saw the picture of the man who was laying brick over there, the cinder blocks. He was working on a gas station, and the cartel group came and started pushing him to answer to them phone calls. And they were giving him this cell phone and saying, you're going to answer the cell phone every time we call you, and you're going to make $100 every week. And you don't have to get involved in any crime or anything. You're just going to tell us who came by, who visited the gas station, what kind of cars came. This is just information. So he was under a lot of pressure, and finally, he ended up leaving the job. He's been working over there for 5 years. He left the job and went to work for this big plant that makes harnesses over there for cars. And he's been working over there for a while. And some gang members come into the office, broke the window of the office. He's a security guard over there in the middle of the night. They wanted it to rob the plant. So they beat him up on the night, him and the other guard member. And they tie him over there and they try to steal things. They couldn't steal anything. They had no keys for the money. They had everything on safes. But this guy loses his job 2 weeks after that because they thought he was part of it somehow. But in the process, he became a Christian. And God opened his eyes and he said, I had to trust in the Lord because I knew that God was chasing me. God was pushing me to acknowledge him. And I knew he was real, so I asked forgiveness. And now I trust in him and I'm just serving him all of my days. And as we saw him, I say, Lord, we want to bless these kind of people. We're going to give them a blessing as they work in the church and be able to encourage them. And this is what we want to do, continuing here on the next year. Next year we want to make a trip in June. And we want to take even a group of couples, if we can, and go to that nursing home and give a rest to these people who work every day for 365 days, cooking and cleaning, and say, you know, we want to cook and clean for 2-3 days, and we want to clean the place and do maintenance here, and we want to bless you and be part of your ministry here, and also bless the churches. And I'm sure God will open up the doors for us to do it in a way that we are also blessed. And if you're willing to go, if God is putting this in your heart, I encourage you to get ready, get your passport ready, and we can travel for a week down there and bless these people and also be blessed by their faith in Christ. Amen? So we'll try to go twice a year, beginning of the spring. This time is going to be in June, and then October, November. And we'll keep encouraging these brothers and letting God use us down there. If you are in the midst of trials and problems and afflictions, trust in God. He's got a purpose in your life. And even when the battle is big, remember, God is accomplishing something bigger in your heart. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that as a church we have the opportunity to go down there and bless these people. Lord, we pray for unity in those churches, for vision. We pray, Lord, for encouragement to the pastors, for guidance from your Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, we pray for those people, Lord, who are involved in crime and the drug cartels, Lord, that the ones that are yours and belong to you, Lord, that they be able to come out of there as soon as possible, Lord, and they be a testimony to the rest of the community, that they be part of the churches, Lord, and start serving you. Lord, we ask for those families that are going through trials over there. Open doors for them. Give them wisdom, Lord, and faith and strength. And Lord, bring them to abundance, as your word said. Lord, we ask you right now, Lord, that you place in our heart vision, passion, Lord, for missions, for ministry, Lord. But more than anything, for you, Lord. We want to be thankful. We want to be worshipers in the midst of blessings, but also in the midst of trials and afflictions and sufferings. Lord, and I know that in this place, Lord, there are people who are going through problems. Maybe in their marriage, Lord. Maybe with their kids. Maybe in their health. And they're wondering what's going to happen, Lord. Lord, we ask you that you guide them, comfort them, Lord, and give them your strength. And Lord, give them the ability to trust in you, to rest in you, to surrender everything to you. In your powerful name, Lord, we pray for these things. We honor you, Lord. You are the King of everything, Lord. And we want to have communion with those, Lord, that serve you all the time.